New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast. Recording this on a Friday night after the Kings suffer a tough loss on the home floor at the hands of the LA Clippers, 107-98. The story from this one, poor three-point shooting haunts Sacramento. They end up shooting in this game 3 of 26 from downtown. Yes, 3 of 26 from downtown. That's good for 11.5%. And what makes matters worse, the Clippers were 14 of 30. That means Sacramento got outscored 42-9 from downtown. Is it time to be concerned about the three-point shooting after 9 games plus the 5-game sample size of the preseason? We'll discuss that and more. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How are you doing on a Friday night, Morgan?
I'm kind of like you. I'm good. I had a lot of fun with you and Chelsea on the show. Pre-game, talking a lot about good basketball, coming off a win. And then, obviously, after the game, talking about what we had to talk about. It was like, I wasn't disappointed in this team, the play. I thought it's what they do every single game. It feels like they fight back even when they're not shooting well or the other team's defense is scrappy and is up on you and is packing the paint. And the Kings, when it came to their three-point shooting, I would say it was disappointing, but at the same time, like, I don't even know what you do when you're getting good looks and you're missing your shots, but in multiple games of this season.
Yeah, on the season, Sacramento is shooting 30.7% from three. It's a 9-game sample size. It's not nothing. It's 9 games, and you're shooting 30.7%. If you include the preseason, where some people had some fears after the preseason, Sacramento shot 25% from three in the preseason. Should be noted that was without Kevin Huerter, Trey Lyles, although Trey Lyles is back now and not exactly knocking down threes at the moment. So now, you know, there's a bit of a sample size, and I think there is some concern. I mean, we talked a little bit on the pregame today because Sacramento came into this game tonight against the Clippers, 5th in offensive rating and 5th in points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Yet they were near the bottom of the NBA in three-point percentage. It's kind of crazy for them to be that efficient.
When you look at those numbers.
Yeah, because they've been elite in the mid-range, and they're getting to the free throw line a ton and making free throws. But tonight, like, the margin for error is so thin. Like, they didn't just have a bad night from three, right? It's not like, oh, man, they missed some more threes tonight. If Sacramento hits a few more, hits 7 threes, you might win the game tonight.
I know.
You're not asking for a ton. And, you know, I know Mike after the game was like, hey, I wish we would have shot 40 threes. That's fine. But the reality is, I don't think tonight we're looking back, man, they didn't shoot enough threes. It's like, no, they just missed everything. And I felt like the majority of the looks, not all, the majority of the looks were good looks.
I agree. I absolutely agree with that. Like, I think even Trey Lyles, it was a couple nights ago when we saw him have a few chaotic looks at the basket and he's missing them. We're like, okay. And then tonight it was, he had open looks and he was missing his. We'll get to Trey Lyles in a bit, but you just look at the overall shooting for the team. And I am so with Keegan had good looks.
0-for-6 from Keon Ellis.
Oh, Keon Ellis.
I'm sorry. Keegan Murray.
Thank you. Keegan was 0-for-6. Keon Ellis was 1-for-3, but even those looks that they were generating for these guys, it was stunning how they were just missing every single one. It was like there was a curse on the basketball.
The staggering number that I've been paying attention to on NBA.com, the NBA has, they have tracking that you can look on their advanced stats on the website. And looking at the Kings' percentage on open threes. Now, open threes are categorized as a defender within 4 to 6 feet. 4 to 6 feet, okay? So pretty comfortable.
Okay.
Sacramento is dead last in the NBA at 23% from three on open threes. On mm-hmm. open ones. The wide open ones are actually pretty good at. Wide open ones through 8 games, they're at 40%.
Oh, thank God.
Okay. On wide open ones. But the open ones where defenders kind of nearby, whatever. And I'm not acting like this is exact science with the tracking data that the NBA has. But it gives you a glimpse of like, wow, I mean, you're missing open looks. 23.4% coming into tonight. And I can guarantee you that number went down after this game. Oh, so. Yeah. You know, with all that said, you hear that number 23% on the open threes. You hear the fact that they're down to 30.7% from three on the season after 25% in the preseason. At what point of the season are we like, hey, like, this isn't a good 3-point shooting team? Or is it like, God, you gotta just kind of trust that you've got guys with track records?
Well, we asked Chelsea Gray this question on the post-game show.
But I'm asking Morgan Reagan.
Well, and the thing is, when she told me when, yeah. I was kind of like, okay, I think I'm gonna agree with this. She said January.
Yeah.
January is around the time. Wait, you don't agree with that?
I mean, if they're shooting 30% in January, that's a lot of season. That's the entire month of December.
It is.
That's like 27 games into the season.
But your question is, yeah, like, when are you concerned that this isn't a good shooting team?
Yeah.
And I think it's you being realistic of, you've seen these guys shoot well before. So that's why you're saying January, yeah, that kind of number comes up. Because if you pull the trigger too quick, you're like, wait, did everyone just lose their shooting ability? Like, how does this happen? It just feels so strange, because it's not like teams are up in their face and, oh, threes are just so much more difficult for the Sacramento Kings. It's like, no, you had guys that were shooting the ball well that aren't shooting the ball well a lot. So I don't know what the answer is.
So now they're down, like I said, 30.7%. That is good for 29th in the NBA right now.
I mean,
for perspective, last year, Sacramento's 3-point percentage, not like it was blazing hot. It was 36%, which was a drop from, you know, the Beam team year, the original Beam team,
yes,
year, where they shot 30. Well, a little, not that much. They were at right under 37%,
okay,
but that was good for top 10. I mean, this right now is more than bad 3-point shooting. This is putrid 3-point shooting. And, you're playing guys in different roles now with DeRozan in the fold. So, okay, I get that. Herter's been kind of in and out. Trey hasn't found any rhythm whatsoever. I mean, Trey Lyles didn't play in the second half of this game.
I know.
And, like, they when they went small, it was like Keegan at the five, because they felt like they could do that against a Clippers team who was super small too. But Trey has given them nothing this year.
I didn't think it was the worst call by Mike Brown to not play Trey in the second, because I think he's seen enough from him lately where he's like, you got to give me that spark that you were giving me. And I don't know, you're getting these opportunities, and we always talk about how you have to be game ready. You have to be ready in any of these opportunities given. The scariest part is if he starts losing these opportunities and his game starts to shift or change. Yeah. And so I don't know what you do at this point. Like, he got screwed. You know, you look at training camp and getting injured and coming into the season that way. It's just like, it's hard to get back in shape, especially when you're traveling all the time. I don't know what the answer is for him, but he's got to find another way to make an impact.
And, I mean, it goes to everybody. I mean, when we're talking about the team being, you know, 29th in 3-point percentage,
yes,
you look at everyone. Keegan, not good enough, right? De'Aaron, he was 2 of 5 tonight. So that was one of the bright spots. But some of the guys that you expect to be able to knock down shots for you on a consistent basis from beyond the arc are not doing it. And so it stings. It really stinks. Nights like this happen in the NBA every once in a while. But that's the problem, is early season theme this year has been the poor 3-point shooting. You just hope that the Kings can get it back. Because my opinion, if the Kings just, I mean, shoot 35% from three, I think the Kings offense is going to be really challenging to guard. It's going to be so hard. But tonight, number one, this Clippers team defends their asses off. I've been so impressed with what Ty Lue's done this year. And
Jeff Van Gundy,
too, is like such an underrated pickup. He is in charge of the defense. And I'm watching him tonight the entire game. He's like a it's like a football coach where it's like, oh, hey, there's our defensive coordinator, like literally telling guys where to go, making adjustments. He's like micromanaging them defensively to make sure they're in the right spots.
And it's only going to get better.
Yeah. And they've assembled a team that is so switchable. They're long, they're athletic. They were giving the Kings problems for sure. I'm not like taking away from what they did tonight. I thought they pressured the ball well. They're up in the guys. They made it harder to maybe for Sacramento to get some looks from three. But I also thought the Kings had good looks that they just flat out missed. And so that's what hurts in this game tonight is you go, man, a home game. And we've been talking about how important it is to get it together on the home floor. And they've lost twice on the home floor now.
And then you go, okay, well, when you're missing your shots, what do? You got to bring it in. And they were trying to bring it in. I thought they still did a decent job of, you know, trying to work these guys. But again, you're talking about a defense that also is very disciplined and is moving on a string from left to right, finding ways to make sure they're always keeping a jersey, a body in front of somebody, and then packing the paint with Zubats in there. It's just like, I don't know, you know, on a night like this, it's as simple as like, gotta make your threes.
Yeah.
Gotta make a couple more.
I think a couple of things too after that, right? Obviously you miss shots, but dude, you give up 107 points to an NBA team. You should feel pretty good in today's game that you're gonna have a chance to win that game.
Yeah,
you have the team you're facing have 21 turnovers. You're going, oh, we got a chance. We got a chance to win this game for sure. The Sacramento Kings outshot them. Right, they shot 47% in this game. Unfortunately, the Clippers were amazing from three, and the Kings sucked from three.
And then the other number that you pointed out earlier.
The second chance points.
Yep.
18-7 for the Clippers second chance points. And that's like the rebounding thing. And that goes to the issue that, I mean, I feel like I repeat myself a lot this year and even during the offseason is how are the Kings going to handle teams with size and length? We've seen nights where like, hey, Keegan's a monster on the glass. Keegan got up to 10 rebounds tonight. He did his job. Sabonis got 12. But Sacramento is out rebounded in this game 48-35. The LA Clippers had 12 offensive rebounds. And the number that like kills me is like Norm Powell's got 12 rebounds. Norm Powell can't be getting 12 rebounds on you. People in the chat, I see like, how do you let him score 31 points? I'm like, I mean, turn on the Clippers game. The guy was hitting tough shots. He's done it all year. He is a bucket getter. And people, for whatever reason, don't connect with him in that way.
Yeah, why?
Because he's been positioned in his NBA career as like a sixth man. Now he's getting more minutes and he's showing what he can do. He is a damn good scorer. I thought at one point that Chelsea made to us, I completely agree, is they should have, the tweak that needed to be made, and they started making it way too late in the game, was, I'm sorry, this guy's cooking us. Get the ball out of his hands. Get the ball out of his hands. Make somebody else beat you. Throw two, and let's see. Make him make a play. Now, he is coming off a game the other night where he had six assists, but that was a big talking point for the Clippers, was like, he had six assists. That's the most he's ever had as a Clipper. And at that point, I want to get the ball out of his hands. He's a tough scorer. Well, he can contested, he could finish through contact. I love the guy's game.
That, and yeah, and I think his game absolutely needs to be respected more, and or like you said, just go watch more Clippers basketball then. But at the same time too, you say get the ball into someone else's hands. Even if it was going to be in James Harden's hands, we talked about this too. There's so many foul merchants on the squad. They know how to sell a foul. Zubats jiggles his body. And it's like, okay, sir, calm down. And then Harden, he's been doing it his entire career. And as annoying as it can be sometimes, it's also a strategy. It's also something that can work. And there was guys early on with Domas and Fox that were in that foul trouble. Keon even started picking up a few. And my point to this being, though, is that it felt like their weapons were very difficult as a matchup tonight for the Sacramento Kings. Like you said, like Powell just being dominant and then someone like James Harden who was going to seek a foul. Same with Zubats. But then the other number that you and I talked about, too, you look at the rebounding. And I mean, Powell is like a huge part of that.
Yeah, 12 rebounds for him. And he also had a couple offensive rebounds. Zubats was a monster on the glass too. I mean, 7 offensive rebounds for him. He had 13, 15, and 5 in this game. He's had a hell of a year this year. Dennis in the chat was talking about, yeah, but when the Kings attack and don't get calls and aren't making those shots and they settle for threes, that's when you have 23 missed out of 26. I mean, Dennis, I mean, I was watching the game. I'm sure you were too. I mean, I when they're creating good looks from three and missing them, I'm fine with it. There's definitely probably, I don't know, this is just off the top of my head, five or six that you go, that was not a good three. You know, those happen every game. You don't want those, but they do. The numbers tonight, I'm like looking at it too. Kings in the paint tonight had 54 points in the paint. They were 71% in the paint. I mean, that's an unbelievable number. 27 for 38 in the paint. 21 of 24 at the free throw line on 2-point shots overall. 65%. 65%. 34 of 52 on 2-point shots in this game.
3 of 26 from 3.
And well, say 3 of 26 from 3 too, and then you go down and you look at the starters and you go, okay, yeah, Keegan Murray, if he was making some of his threes, obviously he's not going to finish it with 7 points. But then the other person, DeMar DeRozan, a quiet night for him with 13 points. He finishes off his 20-point plus game per game streak at 8.
Well, can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
DeMar DeRozan has to get more than 12 shots in this game.
And, sure.
You know, I thought they started going to him more in that third quarter when they were making a bit of a push, and he got him back in the game. I think he had like, I don't know, might have had 10 in the quarter, close to that. Let me double check this. I'm curious. In the third quarter, DeMar DeRozan had 8 points, 2 assists, 3 of 4 shooting, 2 of 2 at the free throw line.
Oh, wow.
All right. In the fourth, he took 3 shots, 1 of 3.
Okay.
De'Aaron had 12 points on 5 of 8 shooting in the quarter. But I don't know. I just felt like, you know, he's such an impactful player. And I know the Clippers do such a great job, like, playing the passing lanes and, like, attacking gaps. But it is DeMar DeRozan. I'd like to see him get the opportunities to create something.
And I know you look at those fourth quarter numbers and you go, oh, okay, could have been more of him. I'm fine with De'Aaron putting up those numbers in the fourth. It's more like
we're just on the flow of the game. That's like, have him involved. Like,
that's it.
This game was such a struggle. And God, like the Clippers, especially in that first half, I feel like it was like their game. They mucked it up. It was kind of their style getting to the line. I mean, Morgan was talking about James Harden hunting early. I mean, Harden had 7 free throws in the first quarter. The Clippers were like 11 of 11 from the free throw line in the first quarter. I mean, that slowed down as the game went on, but it just, that first half, you're just like, oh my God, like this, they're just kind of controlling things, but Sacramento was in the game. And so I think tonight we're like, I'm going to go on record and say I'm not to the point where I am freaking out about the threes yet. I don't know when that's going to be. Mm-hmm. I thought tonight I was pleased overall with the fact that like they fought through that shit and like still were in the game. The fourth quarter was probably the most disappointing defense through a stretch when the lead ballooned to 16 and you're like,
my God,
we got to guard the ball, man. Yeah. Like, and there was like just tough plays. There was that one where like Amir Coffey had like an uncontested like dunk at the rim because Malik was upset about something on the other end. You're just like, dude, like, these are the breakdowns that can't happen. And
because like, there's such momentum like shifters.
And you know, we can talk about Norm Powell going off, but then it was like, they got bench production too. Like Kevin Porter was chaotic, but he also came up with some big buckets, 11 points. Amir Coffey, 14 points off the bench. And it's the other, that's the other theme of the year for Sacramento that should be talked about, is we talk about the 3-point shooting, but outside of Malik Monk, what do you count on from a scoring perspective? Like, you're leaning on your starters every night to try to score like 100 points by themselves and lean on them heavy minutes. Like, I know Malik can get buckets, and he had 17 in this one. Keon had 3. Alex Len did not score. Trey Lyles did not score. And those guys, the minutes, look at the minutes again tonight. The minutes were a starters heavy team again. And after the last couple of games where like he leaned more into utilizing the bench, that wasn't the case tonight. And, you know, I don't want to, now I feel like I'm analyzing game 9 of the goddamn regular season. Like, it's, hey, this is game 2 of the Western Conference Finals. We got to talk like rotations. But like, I don't know. Was there some value, you think, maybe with a team that's missing threes of like, you know what, tonight's kind of weird. Let's throw Doug in there for 3 minutes.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, like, I had that thought.
Hey, Jordan can hit a corner. Can we just get them in there?
And,
I don't know.
And you know what I will say I understood about Mike Brown? I think he had the fear of like, no, I don't, but I don't want to like crush any type of momentum. Like it's only a 4-point game and it felt like it was a 4 and 6 point game.
And it's
throughout.
A fine line. You're just hoping that these guys can eventually hit some goddamn shots and you go, okay, then it kind of, all right, here we go. We're playing the right way. Let's get some shots.
But this is the time to try it out. And like, if you didn't trust Trey Lyles in that second half and you did want some size, you know, and you do go with Doug McDermott. Sure, you're scared of what's going to happen on the defensive end, but at the same time, maybe those shots flowing allows a different kind of rhythm on the defensive end. Yeah. So I don't know. And even, I mean,
that's where I just
what
going to the bench for a second. Like, if I had a concern at this point, I am concerned about the bench. I am.
I think that's fair. It's, where your concern isn't so much the 3-point shooting, like, oh, they're not going to figure it out.
I feel like the threes, I'm trying to trust track records, and cool. I do think for the most part they're getting good looks from three, and at some point they're going to fall. Like, yeah. Teams go through stretches of a season where they struggle from three.
Yep.
This just so happens to be the first 9 games of the season. If it was a 9-game chunk in February, you'd be like, hey, the Kings aren't shooting the ball well. Oh, that's weird. Oh, hopefully they get out, you know. You just hope this is just like an early season. We're just in a bad funk right now. Mm-hmm. We'll get out of it. For them to be one of the worst 3-point shooting teams in the league and still be like in this at 5-4, I'm feeling okay, but they have to get out of it soon. The bench stuff to me, I don't know. Like I'm kind of looking at the bench going, he hasn't really trusted them.
Well, that's it.
Trey is just not there yet. And if it's the injury from, you know, training camp and not playing in the preseason, he's just not there.
And if you can't trust your bench in this league, it just doesn't feel like you're going to win a lot of these matchups, right? Like, of course there's going to be teams and nights where it just makes sense, and all you're going to need is dominance from your starters, and then you just rotate in, you have an 8-man rotation, whatever, but that's just not going to be the case, especially with what is around the league and especially in the Western Conference.
Yeah,
I know.
And their bench comes out and produces the Clippers. So,
what I mean, so like, I think when you look at that, it's not as simple as just being like, you're gonna have to make a trade. You got to make changes. But I think it's obvious though now, if you have a head coach that isn't going to trust rotating in some of these guys when it's a 4-point game, because he doesn't want it to balloon. Well then, yeah, like we got a problem.
DeMar played 39 minutes tonight. Keegan played 39. Sabonis at 37, and De'Aaron at just under 38. Herter played just under 20. The next highest minutes on the team, 31 for Malik Monk, who actually I thought had some nice moments in this game, brought some life and some much needed life to this game, trying to get the crowd into it. Keon played 19 minutes. Alex Len gave him just under 9. And then just over 6.5 for Trey Lyles in this game. So, yeah, I mean, that's probably my biggest concern for the Kings right now is, like, they're making it through it right now. And their starters, for the most part, have played pretty well. Like, we all go, man, Sabonis off to a great start. You know, Fox's shooting's been very inconsistent. Tonight, I saw someone in the chat point he had 0 assists. He did. Yeah. It should be noted the Kings were also 3 of 26 from 3. How many potential assists did he have? Yeah. But he had 7 turnovers. The 7 turnovers, obviously too high. Harden had 7 turnovers too. When you see your guard have 7 turnovers, it just eats at you.
Yeah.
Fox was, by the way, asked about his finger on his shooting hand.
Oh, yes.
That's the hand he uses quite often. And he said, let me just double check here. I want to get the correct. I think our guy Brendan Nunes put it out there.
You don't want to screw it up.
De'Aaron Fox, when asked about his lingering hand issue, it is what it is. I can't really do much about it. I'm not going to take a month off or anything. I'm able to play, so I'm out there.
Deuce, who talked about that the other night?
Yeah.
I mean, we were literally, I said to you, I said, anybody that's played basketball, if it's a hand injury, it sucks. But like, you find a way through it. And even asking Chelsea about it before the game about, you know, hey, how big of an impact can that make? And she's like, I don't even care. Sometimes my fingers hurt and it needs to be taped up. I'm so different and off when there's tape on my fingers that like just no, figure it
and
out.
And his is taped up.
And
right
his
now.
Is taped up.
He did have 31 points on 12 of 20 shooting. We mentioned the 2 of 5 from downtown, 5 of 6 from the free throw line, but 7 turnovers for De'Aaron in this game. Sacramento, the turnovers weren't crazy. They had 14, you know, to 21 for the Clippers, but the Kings, of course, did not score a ton off those 21. They only had 17 points scored off those 21 turnovers. The Clippers scored 15 off their 14.
One of those nights.
And hey, guess what, guys? Got to go play the Phoenix Suns.
No big deal.
Here comes the Suns. Kevin Durant is so good.
And I say.
He is old, but it doesn't matter. I don't know.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na.
I don't know that song well enough. Sorry.
Really? It's pretty.
Here comes the sun. That's all I could tell you. Here comes the sun. Na-na-na-na.
Here comes the sun. Doot and doo doo.
They say doo 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 or na na na.
They say doot and doo doo. Hey wow. Jude is na 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 na.
I combine the two.
Na 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 na.
Here comes the sun. That's how it goes, right?
No.
Hey there, Jude. Na 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 na. Is that how it goes?
You're totally messing with me, right?
Yeah.
Hey, Jude, don't make it bad. Just take a second.
I've just never been into the Monkees.
You're disgusting. You're foul, and you're doing this on purpose. And
doing what?
What songs do the Monkees sing?
Hey, we're the monkeys.
And people say we're monkeying around.
That's all I know.
Good song.
Yeah. Kevin Durant and the Suns coming up next. We got more of the podcast coming up in just a second. A couple of things, though. Hey, if you're not busy tomorrow night, can I invite you to do something?
Oh, yeah. This
if you
is
guys
so
have
cool.
ESPN Plus, I'm really excited. I'm calling a college basketball game, doing play-by-play for some college basketball. A big showdown tomorrow in San Francisco. It's Boise State. Mm. The Broncos in town taking on the San Francisco Dons. Deuce Mason on the call with Ben Braun. I think it's a 7:30 game on ESPN Plus, so if you want to watch it, check it out.
Hell yeah.
I'm excited. I've been studying. I watched San Francisco yesterday and Boise State's games. Talked to San Francisco head coach this morning. Been doing a shit ton of studying and prep. I'm like, I get locked in. I've done NBA stuff. I've done G League. I'm going to the college game. I can't wait.
You're going to crush. It's going to be super fun.
It's a big showdown. Both teams are good.
I'm excited to watch the game. That's awesome. Congrats.
Anyway, we should mention that tonight's podcast presented by our friends over at Mother. Sacramento is the place to be. Mother is a great restaurant located at 2319 K Street. You can order online at mothersacramento.com. And they've got this awesome new promotion that made me slightly uncomfortable, but we heard something about it today.
Yes, there was multiple listeners that have gone in and taken advantage of this amazing deal. And guess what the deal is? You can get 50% off your entire meal. But this is what you have to do. You have to bring in a photo of your grandmother, mother, dead or alive.
No, I don't want to know, like, hey, this is like an open casket situation. No, I'm talking about like a family photo. Like, here's me and my mom. Like, we're trying to encourage good things. Wait, just, what if I don't like the, like, when you say dead or alive, it's like, okay, what are we? Or trying to capture?
We're just being morbid.
Someone on the most wanted list or what?
We're just having fun. But wanted, seriously, you bring in a photo, mother, grandmother, and you could get 50% off your entire meal. So this is Mother Sacramento, and this is like Michelin bib standard food. Fantastic. And if you have not tried it, go in this November and get that deal.
Indoor, outdoor seating, amazing food. 2319 K Street. We appreciate their support of the Deuce and Mo podcast. Also, we can't forget to tell you that we're presented by our friends over at Golden One Credit Union. Kings fans, this one's for you. Golden One is the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. And we got a little QR code on the screen. Scan it to see their range of products and services to help start your financial journey. And there's so many perks. If you have a Golden One membership.
Yeah, and one of the main perks I got to talk about, because I saw it happen tonight, and that's why I'm like, just scan the code now so then you can have this happen to you. Scott Freshour said, hey, if you have a Golden One credit union card, raise it up in the air. All the way up at the top.
All
in
the
second
bowl.
All the way up at the second bowl. Someone raises it and he goes, you. And they got upgraded to the lower bowl.
Just for showing the car.
That's why I'm like, why wouldn't you do this? And obviously they have so many other things that happen as well.
Yeah, up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. And you get discounts, behind the scene tours, all this good stuff. That's how you win as one. Become a member today at GoldenOne.com. Also presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Hey, if you're thinking about, you know what? It's getting a little colder in Sacramento. It's cold in my house right now. Yeah, maybe it's your windows. Look at your windows. Are they rattling when it's windy? Maybe it's time to upgrade. There's no better place to go than our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, and they've got an awesome deal right now offering to give you $109 window buyback offer. Plus, how about this? They will donate $20 to the Warrior Foundation Freedom Station. For each window purchase, the foundation supports veterans. That offer expires December 29th, 2024.
Yeah, so they got lots of deals going on. And the funnest part about all of this is when people come up to me at games and goes, oh, I'm looking to get some windows, and like acting like they can get a deal for me. And I'm like, yeah, you're getting a deal from the podcast. If you're a podcast listener, make sure to reach out to them. They can hook you up.
Check out NorthwestExteriors.com because Morgan, Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Thank you.
Okay, who should be our simply the best player of the game? What's the chat think?
Okay.
I want to know, simply the best player of the game.
I think Malik Monk could be a candidate, but they did lose, so it does bother me. So are we doing the whole thing where we go for...
How many non... Like, we've had Chris Boucher win it. Have we had any other opposing teams?
No.
We were soft early in the season.
That doesn't make us soft. When the Kings lose... Yeah. Like, this out of all games didn't need to necessarily be an opponent. But I mean, it could be. If it is, then I know who it is.
All right. Some people suggesting Scott Foster, Norman Powell. You guys are way too hard on that. The other thing, I'm not complaining about Scott Foster tonight when Sacramento actually shot one more free throw.
Yeah.
Tonight wasn't about that. Powell, Monk getting love. Okay. Are simply the best player of the game tonight goes to Norm Powell.
Hey,
you gotta give him love, man. The guy's a dog. 31 points, 12 rebounds on 10 of 23 shooting, 6 of 7 from downtown in this game, and a couple of big assists late in the game. One to the corner to Derrick Jones Jr. When the Kings were closing the gap, like, they end up hitting three straight threes, and it was just a dagger. Norm Powell was a monster in this game. He's our simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors. Check out northwestexteriors.com. That's actually funny. Steven says in the chat, the player of the game, the rim.
Damn!
This Clippers team at 5-4. Think about no Paul George. He departs, goes to Philly. Kawhi, we have no idea when he's coming back. And they have assembled a team that plays really tough defense. They're athletic. They knock down shots. And I think Norm Powell has been probably their best player. And that's crazy to say, but like, even Harden tonight, he had 22, and I'm not saying he was like awful night, but he had 7 turnovers. He was 5 of 16 shooting, has not been knocking down shots consistently at all this year to start the season. And I just feel like when he's not out there, I just feel like they flow better.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand what you're saying with that, but I mean, it makes sense with anyone that is going to need the ball so much, and the impact that they make is when the ball is in their hands. And like you said, his role in what he's done with his game has changed over time. Where, how many assists did he finish with tonight?
8. Just said 8. Thanks for listening.
I just, because I don't retain a number,
I said 27 seconds ago,
but still, like, why would that even bother you?
Oh, it's just weird that you weren't listening, but go ahead.
But I was, but why would that bother you?
Yeah.
No. I need help on this. Does everyone out there remember three numbers thrown at them all the time?
To be fair, it's the second time it's happened today. We're keeping stats, but it's not a big deal.
When else did it happen?
When I was talking about Norm Powell with 12
rebounds. No, I heard the 12 rebounds, but I was going into the team rebounds of 48. So no, you're just being a dick.
I don't know why we're yelling at me. I'm just innocent little boy here.
You're not innocent. You're an conniving asshole.
Oh, man. What was the chat that someone was talking about? Something I wanted to bring up. Oh, it's a trap. Says a 6'2 guard can snatch 12 rebounds, but DeMar DeRozan or Barnes comes up with 1 or 0. I don't know why Harrison Barnes is catching strays tonight. But yeah, I mean, the Kings have to rebound better. And like, yeah, if DeMar DeRozan's playing 39 minutes.
Harrison Barnes?
Yeah, if DeMar DeRozan's playing 39 minutes, gotta get more than one rebound out here. And so, yeah, I mean, that's obviously a concern. The most consistent rebounders this year have been Sabonis and Keegan. And then Fox, I think, has done a pretty solid job, but he only had three. This is a longer team. It's tough. But yeah, Norm Powell played with Forrest, and that's what's a little disappointing from the rebounding perspective.
I think if you look at the stat lines of everyone, though, with the Sacramento Kings, it's like you just feel like there's a few extra things that everyone could have done. We talked about De'Aaron's assists. I know missed buckets, threes, whatever. Like, that's part of it. DeRozan with his rebounding. You know, it was just like some of the little things for these guys, but I also felt like Sabonis, Fox, like I mentioned earlier, like getting in that foul trouble didn't allow it had. It didn't allow them to play their same type of basketball the entire game through. And I still thought they did a pretty good job of playing with the amount of fouls and still remaining aggressive. But at the same time, you know, you just look at everyone, especially in that starting crew, and you're just like, okay, guys, you still got to make sure you're doing a little bit of everything.
Update on the poll question real fast, Morgan, about, hey, are you concerned about three-point shooting? It's still 81% of people who have voted. 300 votes say yes. 19% say no. It's too early.
Oh, okay. I'm not surprised by that, though. I mean, after a game like this, ugh.
In the chat, the Keegan slander makes no sense. He's essential to the offense and defense statistically when he's out. Our rating falls drastically. He's defending the toughest assignments and crashing boards. Yeah, I saw some of that from the chat. Yeah, I'm not blaming Keegan for tonight. It would have been nice for him to knock down some shots, but I think if he can get going from three, it changes everything for Sacramento just on the season. It will change their season because he's doing so much out there and he's taking some really tough matchups. I think he's doing the best he can, and he's like the Kings' only wing. And that's a lot to ask for somebody. It's like, hey, Keegan, we're going to need you to play 39 minutes. We need you to knock down open threes. You got to crash the glass, rebound. And, hey, can you check, like, some of the best wing defenders? And if Fox is on the floor, you check the best player no matter what. You have to do it at a high level, too. Yeah, it's a lot to ask.
Hey, you scrolled up, and I see two negative things about me. Morgan Where? Is more defensive than the Kings were tonight. And then
that's
then
a comment of the night nominee.
Mo is narcissistic? What'd I do? What'd I do?
You also got a compliment, Morgan. You made my daughter so happy tonight.
Well, that's good.
Thank you for introducing her to Chelsea Gray. It was such a highlight and a mom win. Thank you. See you next time, ..
Thank God. Repair my image. Thank you.
Karen did not want her daughters to meet Deuce, I guess. And I'm just sitting there. Hey, I'm waving like, hey, what's up? And they're like, no.
Do you want me to sign your basketball?
Like, do you want a picture? Yeah, you could take one of me and Chelsea.
Oh my God. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's sweet. Very sweet.
Yep.
Chelsea is popular. I'll tell you that.
Donald says, I think the 3-point percentage will rise a little throughout the season, but I'm convinced that the Kings are not a great shooting team.
Okay.
That's fair. Like, and I think, you know, you think back to the first year under Mike Brown, when the offense was super explosive, they shot like 37%. You had Keegan and Kevin like shoot amazing, right?
Yeah.
So did Trey Lyles was pretty solid.
Yep.
Terrence Davis had some big memory. Oh, TD. Yeah. God, man. He's been trying to make it back to the league. He was in camp with the Bucks and got waived. And, you know, he had last year was in the G League and early in the season ruptured his Achilles.
Yep.
I miss TD. I miss that, like,
spark.
Yeah.
I mean,
how
chaotic.
Many times did he and Monk kind of have a spark off the bench?
Yeah.
I mean, TD helped them win games.
Yeah. I mean,
not even in the league.
It's interesting because I thought there were so many different things that he was doing in that role. And I think they wanted to go away from that because they wanted to upgrade. But I also think there's like, you just got to make sure to hold on to something when it's a special, special piece, a special role.
Yeah. Bummer. I hope he can make it back to the league. He's a fun player. All right. Next up for the Sacramento Kings, a 2-game road trip. And it's going to be a back-to-back. They play Sunday against the Phoenix Suns and then Monday night in San Antonio against Victor Wembanyama, Harrison Barnes, and Chris Paul in the San Antonio Spurs. But first things first, the Phoenix Suns. I'm glad we're talking about the Suns because I feel like they were the butt of the joke a lot last season in the NBA because things didn't go as planned. There's a lot of like, hey, Beal's not healthy, and oh, Booker's banged up, and oh, they got bounced. You know,
yeah.
When a team assembles a team, in the when an organization assembles a team in the fashion they did, there's high expectations. They went all in. They're trying to win a championship. And I told you over the offseason, I said, with everything that went wrong for them last year, they still were the sixth seed.
Mm-hmm.
They won like 48 games. Durant played a ton of games, but Booker and Beal were banged up. They didn't have a point guard, and it just didn't click. Now you go into this offseason, they get, to me, one of the best coaches in the league in Mike Budenholzer. KD is playing at an MVP level. They add Tyus Jones, even drafting the rookie Ryan Dunn, who everyone was like, he, you know, great defensive player, literally can't shoot, won't ever be able to shoot. He sucks, will never be able to figure it out. Love when they say that about young guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he's doing in the NBA?
He's figuring it out.
He's knocking down open threes. He missed tonight's game, but on the season, Ryan Dunn, who again can't shoot, according to literally everyone, is shooting 39.4% from three on 4.1 attempts. And that's been big. So anyway, the Suns, after tonight beating Dallas in dramatic fashion, they end up beating Dallas 114 to 113. They are now 8-1 on the season. And Kevin Durant is playing at an MVP level.
Yeah. I mean, a guy that we've talked about over the years being like, oh, another year on Kevin Durant. What is he going to look like? And you're seeing him still play at such a special pace. And then you look at the Suns as well, being coached differently. And I know you just kind of go down the list. And
it's a good team.
You feel like their roster makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, I think having a point guard.
Yep.
Tyus Jones is a point guard. And he doesn't have to do too much. I think it's 17 tonight, which is huge, right? Knocking down three or five from downtown. But Kevin Durant's a 36-year-old man, and you look at the numbers, it hasn't dipped. He's just efficient. He's a bucket getter. He's such a unique scorer in this league. They're tough. And like, even on the night tonight where it's not like Booker was cooking, Booker had 13 and Beal had 15, they find a way to beat Dallas because they have other guys. Like Royce O'Neal can have a hot night. He was hot tonight, but look, a good defensive player can knock down shots. Grayson Allen has been a guy, especially last year, was so impactful for them. Nurkic is definitely kind of the wild card for them, I think, as a championship contender, because
sure,
it's like sometimes he's just unplayable. Last couple of games, he hasn't been unplayable, but he can be. And then they're forced to go small. They had Plumlee over the offseason. I don't know. I like their pieces. And I think the way KD's playing, they're tough.
Are you worried?
Yeah, it's going to be good. I'm not going to say I'm worried. I think it's a tough test.
That's why I was thinking of the word to ask.
They played them. Yeah, I have nightmares thinking about the Suns.
Oh, okay.
Remember last year in Phoenix when the Kings were up like 18 with how many, like 5 minutes to go?
I was concussed that night.
Yeah. They were up huge in that game. And they choked the game away. That was the night after gagging the one in Milwaukee. And you're like, God, the Kings played one of their best games and they lose that game. And then last year at the end of the season when they needed to win that game and they collapsed late, remember? Sabonis had the bad turnover and the Suns ended up beating them in Sacramento. That seemed like a pivotal game late in the season that just stung. They played them well last year. They just didn't always finish.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. And I'm just like, I'm hoping that their bounce back game against the Suns, it's going to be difficult on a Sunday. And I get it, but...
Well, one thing the Suns did last year...
What?
Remember, they've decided that what kind of got them back in that game against Sacramento when they made their comeback, they went small against the Kings. They put KD at the five, remember?
Yes.
And they're like, you know what?
Screwed with them.
Go ahead. We'll go small on you and make you, we'll make Sabonis try to defend some of these
guys. Oh, it worked them. It was such a great coaching adjustment as well. But yeah, I think they can throw a lot of different things at this Kings squad. And you know, you can say, all right, Kings, play your game, do what you do best. And it's what do they do best right now? You know, it never feels like, of course, they have one of the fastest players in the league. And when they do play with pace, it and a lot of good things end up coming from it. But also, you've got to be able to make your shots if you want the flow of the game to be the way that you need it to be.
It's going to be a tough one, but like,
I agree.
It's, I mean, it's also winnable, but you know, that they're off to an amazing start.
And that's the first night of a back to back.
Yep. And then they play San Antonio the next game.
That's what it is.
San Antonio's been weird. I mean, they're kind of what I thought they would be. Some nights they look great. Victor, you know, Victor is obviously a freak. We all know this, right?
Yeah.
And he's a young player. You got to give it time. I will say, like, I think there are stretches where he gets a little too much freedom to do what he wants offensively. Like, he's taking sometimes he takes threes where I'm watching going, yeah, man, like, you are like seven, aren't you like 8 feet tall? Like, are they stopping you? Like, let's get you some closer looks. You're not a 3-point shooter yet, and it's fine. You don't have to be. I mean, defensively, it's just like, it's so challenging, right? But I don't know. I'm saying that without even knowing his numbers, but
I understand what I think anyone would say that though with a 7-whatever-4 okay,
so,
dude.
And look, this is early season stuff. Okay. We're saying this about the Kings, 3-point shooting, blah, blah, blah. So last year he averaged 21 a game his rookie year. 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3.6 blocks. My goodness. This year, he's averaging 17 a game, 9.6 rebounds. He is averaging 3.7 blocks a game to start the season. He is taking almost 7 threes a game and shooting 22% from 3. And he's shooting 41% from the field.
Okay.
It's going to be crazy to see what he looks like in the future because of how dominant he is defensively. And the fact that he has like the confidence to take these shots is going to be huge. I'm not saying I'm concerned about it. I'm just saying, like, I think he can make some better decisions out there to be more efficient.
I wonder if there's like some sort of strategy to it too, though, being a big and as big as you are, like the longevity of your career.
Yeah.
If you are sitting on the outskirts along the 3-point line a little bit more and really developing that part of your game. I don't know. I could be just looking too much into
it. The rest of the league should be frightened for sure about him long-term.
That's fair.
He's tough.
That's God damn. That's fair.
Just a unicorn. And then you got like Chet, who's just so fun too. By the way, San Antonio's 4-5 on the year. They play tomorrow at home against Utah, and then they have a day off, and then Sacramento on Monday.
Okay, now.
So an interesting back-to-back for the Kings, and like the schedule starts to get more fascinating, right? Because after you have that back-to-back, you come home for Wednesday, and you play the Suns again. So you get the Suns twice, 2 of the next 3 games. And then Friday night, the first NBA Cup game, group stage, Minnesota, it comes to town.
Yay! It's a home game for that. Okay,
I like
cool.
I like the optimism. Oh. Yay! I'm going, wait, you didn't, 3 of the next 4 games, you get the Suns twice, and you get Minnesota again? They already came here.
And why am I getting so excited for an NBA Cup game? I don't know. Yeah. There's just something about the floor. It makes it feel bigger. It was fun last year. It's more fun when they win, but tough games ahead, okay? Yeah. I get it.
I know we're winding down here, but
yeah.
Can I just say how much joy I took tonight in seeing the Warriors get their asses kicked?
That's mean.
The Cavs now are 10-0. The Cleveland Cavs are 10-0. Red alert. They hammered the Warriors in this game today. They led by as many as 41 points in this game.
Jeez.
Kenny Atkinson getting some revenge against his former team. He was an assistant coach with Steve Kerr there, and now he's coaching the Cavs. But, dude, what a run.
It's not easy winning every game, but then to still be dominating what this is. You said 11-0?
10-0. Sorry. I just said 10-0.
I see 10-0, but I felt like sometimes on court side, it actually doesn't.
Yeah, I know. Trust me.
Okay. You know what I'm saying, though.
Yeah.
I didn't trust it. But I do trust you. So you see that they're 10-0 and you just think about how hard it is to win in the NBA. But then, like I said, to dominate in that 10th win and over the Warriors is fun.
Yeah. Buddy Hield tonight. 3 points in 19 minutes. All right. Just checking.
Don't be mean.
I'm not. I'm.
He's been good for them.
Just, well, check it. I haven't seen a lot of these games. Oh, talk about the Celtics for a second.
Ooh.
The Celtics shoot 26% from three, and they win a game in overtime against the Nets 108-104.
Damn. Crazy.
The Hornets. The pesky Hornets.
Wow. Look at that score.
Yeah, they beat the Pacers tonight 103-83. Tyrese Halliburton, 6 points, 2 of 11 shooting, 0 for 4 from three. We might not need to start a new early season segment of like too early to be concerned. Maybe we can come up with a better name than too early to be concerned. I'm just workshopping here. Tyrese is struggling this year, to say the least. And normally I wouldn't really put too much stock into it, but this goes back to like post All-Star break last year.
Yeah.
And like, I've been a little stunned at the numbers for Tyrese. I'm going to bring him up here so you can get a look at him.
I mean, it is stunning, but I just question, I'm like, is something going on?
Well, Kevin O'Connor was saying that he's had a back thing lately, but okay. Tyrese has had a rat, like, heats his back like since he's come into this league.
Sure.
But Tyrese on the season, Morgan, is averaging 14 points a game, 37.9% shooting, 25% from three.
It's something to watch. Yeah. It's something to watch.
I think it is. I think it's been long enough of a sample size now where you're like, what happened? Because this guy was out of the gates last year, unbelievable. Then he had the groin injury, and then he came back too soon. I think we all admit, why did you let him come back too soon? But he wanted to make All-NBA, and he was able to achieve that. Like, mission accomplished.
Uh-huh.
But really, after that injury, like, he wasn't the same at all.
He would have moments, and he would have even games, but it wasn't as consistent because it was just like, again, I kept thinking, like, is this injury lingering? Is this lingering or is something else lingering? And now you're seeing some of his numbers early on. Of course, teams are going to make their adjustments, know what they have to do against Tyrese Halliburton. But I felt like he was always good at adjusting his game to how teams were defending him as well. You know, he's someone that's really good when it comes to a jump pass. He was making his threes. He's not making his threes.
Yeah.
Big part of his game. And I just hope it's not screwing with him mentally too.
Well, and after the All-Star break last year, he shot 30% from three.
Mm.
You know, that's a 26 game sample size coupled with what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
There's gotta be a part of people that are going, is there more to this? Do you have the yips? Are you too banged up? Do we need to get you healthy? It's just the way he started last year. I mean, coming out of the gates, just unbelievable. He was a top five, top 10 NBA player for, you know, the first 2 months of the season. And then the injury happens. It just doesn't feel like he is the same at all.
I hope it changes back. I think he's, it's good for the league when he's playing well. I mean, obviously, because so many people love talking about him when it comes to like the national news. And it's funny because I don't feel like they're hitting on this, you know, they're not there. And I could be wrong, but I don't feel like I've heard the narrative of like, hey, is everything okay? Like they're not really talking about it yet. So again, want him to play well because I think it's fun for the league. I think his style of play, he plays with so much joy.
And, you know, playing through stuff isn't smart all the time. And I know when money's on the line, it's tough, but my perspective would be like, hey, like you're going to be rich no matter what. And it goes back, it kind of circles back to De'Aaron a little bit. You know, De'Aaron has historically been a guy that just plays through things. And now his finger's an issue on the shooting hand. It's taped up. Sometimes it's swollen. It gets hit. It's going to impact him in some way. He's still able to score 31. It's crazy. Plays defense, all that stuff. But he was suggesting like he would need a month off, and he's not going to do that. It's funny. Professor Oak on Twitter says, if he needs a month off, I would suggest February. It's 8 games and 9 days off for the All-Star break, then 3 more at the end of the month. I'm like, interesting. That'd be funny if you just kind of pick a month. Like, all right, I'm going to take February off. I'm also like,
not bad.
Take a couple weeks off now. It's...
I'd rather
you be good for the season. I know we spent a lot of time talking about the other night. So
I know. I won't get into it.
Sorry.
No, I didn't want to like overpower that.
All right. Any final thoughts about anything around the league? Life?
It's
been like a quiet week, you know? I'm excited to see how they respond against Phoenix.
Same.
And I'm just gonna put it out in the universe for vibes. They're gonna get it going from three.
Okay.
They're gonna hit. I'm gonna get greedy here. They're gonna hit 11 threes against Phoenix. I don't know if it's gonna be enough. But they're gonna hit 11.
What made you pick that number?
I need double digit threes mental right
10
now.
10 was like, no.
Get me 11.
Okay, I like it. So shoot for 11, shoot for the stars, land upon the moon. Final thoughts? Yeah, like I still had fun watching most of this game. Like I said, the style at first, the tempo because of some fouls being called, whatever, it just felt choppy. I thought the Kings have done a great job consistently fighting through and controlling what they can control. And, you know, they fought all the way through in this one. I'm really hoping Sunday it could be different.
In the chat, JC says, I fully expected down or deuce tonight. I am shocked.
Oh.
You're really not going to get down or deuce unless they get severely outworked, outplayed, and are making mistakes that just are unacceptable.
Like an ugly game.
Yeah. Like, what was the one this year that was irritating? I mean, the Toronto game was pretty irritating. The one in Toronto. Loss. Yeah. That was pretty irritating.
Yeah.
The Lakers game, that 21-0 run. Like, that was irritating. Those are things. Like, a night where you go 3 of 26 from 3, I'm like...
Now, if that happened all the time...
Yeah. Then it's like, I hate everybody. Like, what are we doing? Like, give me some shooters.
Yeah. No. I get it. I get it.
Adam says, time to put a half-ass comedy on to solve the loss. Don't want to think anymore. Isn't that our podcast, huh?
You don't have a laugh track?
I don't think I have a laugh track. Hold on. Half-ass comedy, huh? Must be talking about our podcast, right? Yeah. Stop. You got a joke, Morgan? You got a joke to end, man?
I know. What?
Get off the stage, you dumb.
What shoots better than the Kings?
Huh? You know what? No, I'm not. I don't like. No, we're not doing a shooting joke. Is not where I'm going.
Okay, I was thinking of a 3-point shot.
We're done. We're done.
I'm not a comedian. I'm not funny.
And just always remember when she said that. Deuce Mason is the comedian.
I needed that.
Man.
Oh, someone said tell a dad joke. See, it's hard on the spot.
Tell a dad joke. It's hard when you don't have one.
Oh! Do the laugh joke.
Yeah. Tell a dad joke, huh?
Oh, shit. He's going.
I do know a dad joke. His name's Robert. Hey, stop. I know. God. I go dark sometimes.
You're so much better at that than me. I'm just.
Hey, all not right,
good.
Okay, all right. Why am I Rodney Dangerfield now, huh? You get no respect.
My God, now. I'm getting roast. Stick to the vocals, Mo.
Yeah. That's what I love.
I am so sorry. I didn't want to try, but I also had to buy in for my teammate, and then I just led it into an awful direction. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Nick. I mean, there's something you can. You know what? Nick, are you trying to put me in a bad mood at the end of the podcast?
He's not nice.
Oh, Nick. Yeah, Nick. We're so sorry.
And he's been mean to other people and to me.
Yeah. Nick, cool your jets, okay? Do you want hot takes tonight? Oh, hear about this. Hey, how about we train everybody? If you don't like that. Like, is that what you want? Like, no. Get out of here.
Yeah, you're weird.
Clown.
You're not very nice.
All right. Appreciate you guys. Thanks for hanging out with us. We love you guys so much. We don't want to end on Nick.
No.
Give me something else, Morgan.
Someone else already blocked Nick. Okay. I'll give you something else. I have no jokes.
Yeah, a slap in the face, huh? You dummy.
That's oh, I will say this. Deuce got so pumped one time. I think it was after the Malik dunk. That and we were sitting up there and he turned to me and you just punched me in the arm.
This is where I know like you wouldn't ever be able to handle being on like a good team of any sorts, because physical touch is important when you're playing basketball, right? Like you want to like
so again, Sabonis. Adrenaline when you're playing basketball, when you're on a team in a jersey, like sweaty, like part of the team.
Can you do what I did to you?
Yeah. Will you actually let me show you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, all right. Malik Monk with a jam. Oh, my God. I did not close fist punch you.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did. I palmed you. I 100% palmed
you. No.
I can show you. I'm not going to do it as
no.
hard.
No.
Slow motion.
No.
I will slow motion
no.
it. And you will.
You're going
to
hurt
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I'll do it to myself.
Okay.
I was like this.
No.
I palmed you.
No, Deuce. It was for sure.
I'm not a puncher. I'm not a puncher. I wouldn't punch you.
That looks like a punch.
I'm like a hit like that.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it took me out of my groove. It hurt. And just letting you know that like I'm fragile.
No, it's supposed to pump you. When you have adrenaline, someone can hit me like that hard. It doesn't do anything to me.
So again, he's talking about himself and it's like, then do that to yourself, not to me. But anyway, I appreciated your energy in that moment.
Yeah.
That's what I will say.
Yeah, let's go.
But you don't have to remember, like as a kid, you learn like don't touch others. Hands to yourself.
Not when you play basketball.
And we're not playing basketball. We're on a broadcast. We're on a broadcast.
So when you play basketball, did you ever like celebrate, but you never like hit your chest like that?
So again, you have to remember women have things on their chest. So it's not like you're
you see it. Mine are growing.
So again, you're not just going to hit your chest like that.
Oh, but like, what do you do then?
Sometimes like you would chest pound a little bit, but like,
yeah,
you just do a smack on the butt. Like,
I get way too amped up sometimes. There was a pickup game at Roosevelt like a month ago where I had an and one, and I hit my chest. I was just like fired up. I was fired up. I literally
Cringe.
Hit my chest. I literally was like this. I was like, and I'm like, what am I doing here? Like, why am I? Anyway. You guys are the best.
Thank you, guys.
Do us a favor after the show's over and comment below. You guys can talk about the Kings 3-point shooting if you're worried or not, or talk about Morgan and if she's wrong about me palming, if it's a big deal. That's what I did. See?
Again,
you get more scared than anything.
So again, you're like someone who doesn't understand their strength and you're just like, oh, like a little kid. And it's like, whoa, no, bud, like that hurts.
We love you guys so, so, so much, but we got to go.
You guys are all amazing for being here.
Except Nick.
Right. Be nice.
Not that Nick. Nick.
Oh.
Coach Nick.
Where is Coach Nick?
He was in the chat. Why not, Nick? Why not? We love you, but we got to go.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.